Well, I'm looking forward to this. That's kind of chilling just hearing him, isn't it? Lots going on, too. I got to tell you, in Missouri, there's an area near Wildwood, Missouri. It's a suburb of St. Louis called Zombie Road. Now, first of all, if you're there at night on the trail in the dark, it's punishable by fines up to $1,000 and 90 days in jail for people who are out there ignoring the warning signs. But it's a creepy place, Zombie Road. It's 2.3 miles long. Legend has it that has been passed around for years that American Indians, Confederate rebels, packs of child ghosts, tortured souls of working men killed in industrial accidents hang around there. Creepy stories and tall tales, especially around Halloween. But if you're out there in the after hours, because police go there, they will find you and they will put you in jail for up to 90 days. You got to be careful. But there are places all over this planet that are creepy, to be sure. We're going to start with your ghost-to-ghost stories in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. If you're in bed, pull the sheets up to your neck. If you're driving, well, be careful. Make sure there's nobody sitting behind you, or you see little eyes pop up in your rear view mirror, because you're going to hear some stories tonight that will be absolutely chilling to you. It's our annual Ghost to Ghost show. It's Halloween night, and let's go to the calls. Let's pick it up by going to Carrie in Fort Worth, Texas, to get things started. Hey, Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey, Ghost to Ghost, Carrie. What do you got for us?
Well, my story begins in the middle of the night when I was just woken up by what I thought was a woman saying my name right up against my left ear. And I wasn't half asleep and dreaming. I was completely wide awake and my heart was pounding because I assumed somebody was in the room with me. But I didn't see anything and I chalked it up to just being a nightmare. But as I was lying there trying to go back to sleep, I heard my daughter, who was 4 at the time, talking in her sleep in the next room. And this isn't unusual at all. So I just laid there and listened to her laugh at something she was dreaming about. And after a short while, I heard her say, "Go away," in a kind of irritated voice. And I just pictured her lying in bed in the room that she shared with her older brother and her eyes closed talking. But she was saying, "Go away," over and over again. And then she started to say stuff like, "I don't like you," and more forcibly, "I told you to go away."
See, that gets to be disturbing as a parent.
And now I'm thinking she's having a nightmare, but still, we don't usually wake her up. But after about 10 solid minutes of her saying stuff like this, she turned from sounding pissed off to just frightened. And she yelled, "I don't like y'all at all. And I want you to go away. You're scaring me." And at that point, I frantically woke up my husband and told him she was having a nightmare and to go wake her up because I could tell she was really scared at this point. And I would have gone in myself, but I was recovering from a foot injury and I knew it would be quicker to get him in up and over there. So my husband just stumbled out of bed and only half awake himself rushed to the kids' room, which, like I said, is just right next to ours. But then he just stopped right outside her door. He didn't go in. And I was getting pissed off because I knew she was scared and I couldn't get to her. And why was he just standing there in the doorway and not rushing to the bed to wake her up? And after what seemed like forever, I heard him quietly call her name, but still just standing in the entrance to her room. And at that point, I heard her start to cry. And he went in and got her out of bed, picked her up, and brought her into our room to sleep. I didn't ask any questions because at this point we just needed to calm her down and get her back to sleep. Now, the next morning, I was up in work before the rest of the family even got up for the day, so I didn't get to ask my husband why he just stood in that doorway for so long. And that afternoon, after school, I took the kids to gymnastics and I asked my daughter what she was dreaming about last night. She said she wasn't dreaming at all, that there was a little girl in her room who kept peeking around the corner of the closet door. And at first, she said she thought it was funny and she laughed, but that she kept doing it and it got annoying. So she told the little girl to stop, and she didn't. She kept playing this peekaboo game over and over and over again. And I asked her what the girl looked like, but she was having a really hard time describing her, so I let that part go. But I did ask her why she started to say, "I don't like y'all," meaning plural, and what made her go from being mad at the little girl to just scared. And that's when she told me, and I quote, "When the man showed up and the girl started to walk funny." At this point, I was completely spooked, but went through the typical reassuring mom talk that it was just her mind playing tricks on her, and sometimes you can still be dreaming when you're awake in your bed. So after class, we went home, and I pulled my husband aside, and I asked him, you know, what happened last night? Why didn't you go in right away? And he told me when he got to the kid's door, all the hairs on his arms stood up and neck, and he felt too scared to even move. And he saw my reaction at this and gave me this look like, oh, great, he thinks it's another ghost look, and explained it was probably because he was expecting our daughter to be lying down asleep, when in fact she was sitting straight up in bed with her eyes open, yelling at the closet.
Where do you think this little girl episode came from? Did somebody die in that house?
Well, I'll get to that in a little bit. I did find out something about that later, but it wasn't a little girl. So, yeah, my husband completely is discounting what I'm saying. It was a ghost, and saying that it was basically just she was having a night terror, which is understandable. I can see that. But then I brought up, you know, what happened to me, that I woke up because I heard a woman say my name, and I know it was in my left ear. I mean, it was specific. And he said, well, you know, you were having a nightmare. And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, you know, you obviously heard our daughter yell out your name. I'm like, but our daughter calls me Mommy, not Carrie. But he is a psychologist, so he can explain away anything of the paranormal.
At least they try to, don't they?
He does, and he tries really hard. But, you know, at this point, I knew I wasn't converting him, so I let it go. But I'm a researcher by trade, so of course I went in and started trying to dig up anything I could on our property. And on the county clerk's website, I found an affidavit from a neighbor.
Here we go.
Yeah, who said that basically he was just ascertaining that a woman had died in her house. She was in her 60s. And I don't know what she died from, but she was under hospice care and did die inside the home. So at this point, I really think it was that woman, you know, because it probably would have been in the master bedroom that woke me up. And I really do think that she woke me up so that I would be conscious and hear what was going on in the other room with my daughter, and I could stop it. But the little girl and the man,
we don't know who they are.
Me out about that, but the only thing I can think of that bothers me is in their bedroom, in the closet, there's a door that leads to under the house. And it's not really that interesting. We've been under there just to check plumbing and foundation, but it is a creepy enough door that we put a chest over it so that the kids wouldn't know it was there.
Now, I wonder if you've had it, have you had it checked to see if anybody's buried down there?
No, I don't know how I would.
I mean, it leads downstairs, right?
It leads under the house, so it would be bare earth.
Under the house, like a crawl space.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, you might have to get that checked. What if a little girl is buried down there?
Then that would be really upsetting.
I know that. Oh, Carrie, thanks for sharing that with us. But you know what? I really would either do a little more research or get somebody down there, some kind of contractor, and just check around. You never know. Because when these episodes happen to little kids, they're not making these things up. Something is going on. Let's go to Barry in Brooklyn, east of the Rockies. Barry, welcome to Ghost to Ghost.
How you doing, George?
Oh, good. What a way to start the program, huh?
That was creepy.
Sure
oh,
was.
Man. Well, I got a good story for you.
Okay.
I'll try to make it short and sweet. I grew up in this two-family house that my grandmother owned. She bought in 1956, and the house was built in 1925. So, there was an unfinished basement. From my memory, it was the basement was unfinished, you know, with the wires hanging from the ceiling and all that stuff, had the basement smell. But there was, like, old wallpaper down there. And I asked my grandmother once when I was a kid, I asked, well, was this basement ever anybody's room? Because, you know, we did our laundry down there and, you know, played down there as kids.
Yeah.
She said when before she bought the house in 1956, there was a family that used to live in the basement. It used to be a converted basement apartment. I was like, Okay. So growing up in the house, if I was with anybody in the basement, like my grandmother or my father or my siblings, I never felt too afraid to be with somebody. But whenever I would go down there alone, I would always get this, that chill feeling of there's something down here. I didn't feel right. And I would always race upstairs. So one day I was downstairs with my grandmother and she was going through her stuff. I was about 8 years old. And there was a closet in the back where she used to keep her old clothes stored. And she shut the light. I was with her. And we go upstairs. I had to go back downstairs in the basement later on to get something. And the light was back on. And I told my grandmother, I said, the light's back on the closet. And she asked me if I turned it off. And I said, no, I wasn't going to go back there, scared. So a lot of weird things would go on in the house. Every time I was in the basement, it always felt like there was a presence down there. I couldn't explain it.
You
And
could
then when
feel
I
it.
got to my teens, I told my mother, I said, one night I was down here a few days ago and I could have sworn I saw like a not a little girl, but like you could tell it was probably like a little person,
Yeah.
like an apparition. And I wasn't sure. I thought my mind was playing tricks on me. And my mother said to me that, oh yeah, I've seen a little girl down here. And I'm like, okay. Well, fast forward a little bit here. One night I'm sleeping in my bedroom. I used to keep my bedroom door open. And I happened to wake up in the middle of the night and I heard what sounded like someone tiptoeing in my room. And you get like that sleep paralysis thing, like, uh-oh, I'm not moving.
Right.
And I had a poster on my wall and it starts peeling off and it felt like something was pressing on the side of my bed. And the poster fell on me while I was, under my covers and I pretended to be sleeping. I'm like, okay, it's too much weird stuff going on. So to get to fast forward, our last year in that house, which was in the summer of 95, I'm in my backyard with my sister and we're just playing some basketball and all that. And I look in the alleyway, there was a side door that went to the basement and there's this old woman standing in front of the door. And I ask her nicely, what are you doing here? And she's facing, looking down, like as if she's praying. And she said, oh, I'm just saying a prayer. I used to live here a long time ago. And I said,
Oh,
well,
my
how long
goodness.
ago did you live here? I said, my grandmother bought the house in 1956. We've been living here ever since. She goes, well, I was living here a long time before that. And she asked me if it was okay if I left her alone so she can say a prayer.
Jeez, how
And
weird.
yeah, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to refuse an old lady. And I said, no, no problem. And she said, thank you. I go back into my backyard, and maybe 30 seconds later, I go just to check to see if she's still there,
Yeah.
and no woman is there, gone. So I go down the alley to look down the park because we lived on a by a parkway. I look both ways. I don't see an
No
old
way
woman
she's not
walking,
there.
and I go into the basement thinking, well, did she go downstairs?
Is she in the house? Yeah.
Yeah, so I go, I mean, I didn't feel threatened by her, but I'm like, did she decide to go down there? And I go down there and there's no trace of her. And it puzzled me, and I'm thinking to myself, a few days later, I started thinking about this, was that the ghost of this little girl that was maybe haunting the basement and turning on the lights every now and then and making us feel uncomfortable whenever we're down there alone? That's pretty much it, really.
When do you think the house was built?
Where do I think it was built?
When?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was built about 1920, 1922 or
So
1925.
she could have been the original owner or occupant.
It's possible, but at this point, well, let's see, she was probably in her 80s, I would guess.
What if she was like 30 when she moved in? 35? Or
Anything's
maybe she was a
possible.
little kid then, too.
Yeah. But I don't. I just found it very. At the time, I found it very spooky, given what was going on
Yeah,
in the house.
it is amazing, Barry, how they occupy these houses. Tom said we've got a special caller coming in to pop them on or her. Hello there.
Do you serenade the devil directly on his birthday, Mr. Nori?
No.
Do you sing happy birthday, dear devil?
I do. It's JC, and no, I do not sing happy birthday to the devil. Why do you think I would do that?
Saying my name properly, JC Webster the Third, God's 10-star general in the war against Halloween. And why would I think that you would be serenading the devil on his birthday? You're dedicating an entire program to summoning up his spirits and serenading him and playing with Ouija boards. And George, let me tell you about this clown business.
I hate clowns.
They wear these clowns that people are seeing are not people. These are demons that have been unleashed from the boiling pits of sewage because of all the sins of America. The sins, the satanic panic has set in. The demons have been unleashed. The gates of hell are open, George.
JC, when kids come to your house for Halloween, do you give them a little candy?
They get the hose. I sit on my roof and I've got a hose and I turn it on full pressure or I get a fire extinguisher because you're going to need this. And I say, you're going to need this in hell when you burn in hell when you come with your terrorist.
And they don't call the cops on you?
Trick or treat is a terrorist threat. It's a, no, they're the ones coming to your door making a threat saying, give me something, or it's a trick or a treat. What do you think the trick implies? Is terrorism?
If I were, JC, if I were a parent and you hosed down my kid, I'd come up on the roof and get you.
I'm doing them a favor when I hit them with the fire extinguisher because they're going to be burning in hell, boiling in hell, and they'll be thanking me someday saying, I remember when I had the fire extinguisher, the cooling fire extinguisher upon me. But now that I'm burning in hell because I went trick-or-treating and dressed up as Spider-Man or some demonic... Listen, that's beside the point. It's beside the point. And I've got to save your soul. Your buddy, your Mr. Lowdown Dirty Television Terrorist, do you know he's been prank calling me on my phone, him and his wife, and I can hear them laughing at me and snickering and hanging up and taunting me and terrorizing me on my telephone, George.
Who?
Have you been putting them up to this?
Who?
Mr. Lowbrow.
No, I haven't.
They're taking my words out of context and doing demonic things to me and setting spells upon me. And this is what this whole... Do you know that Halloween comes from the Irish word Samhain? Samhain was one of the names of the devil. Samhain. If you know someone named Sam or Hain, stay away from them. They are the devil. And they're unleashing demonic doings upon this entire earth. And George, I've got to save your soul tonight.
JC?
You gotta join JC Webster.
Little kids are coming to your door as we speak. They're out there.
My compound, George.
They're out there now asking for you, JC. Boy, he's not into anything. Hates Halloween. Okay, welcome back to Ghost here. I'm George Norrie, and we're going right to your stories. You are the program tonight. We'll go to Sal in Portland, Oregon. First-time caller to get us started. Sal, what do you got for us?
Yeah, hi there, George. I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener.
Well, thank you, sir.
And, yeah, love the show, man. And, you know, I was, I'll cut right to the chase here. I've been a karaoke DJ for 20 years, and I was starting a new job at a place down in Medford, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And it was just opening up, and there had been several places in that location over the years. It was a bar and a restaurant, and... I'm setting up my equipment one day, and I went into the kitchen to make myself, you know, they let me go into the back to make myself something to eat. And I saw an Indian guy standing in there, not like an India Indian, but a...
Right, American Indian. Native American, sure.
And, yeah, he was had a denim jacket on and a cowboy hat and kind of a leathery face. He looked right at me. And then he kind of had gray hair. He walked right out the back door, and then I kind of went, well, who's this guy standing in here? And I went out, and he was gone. And I talked to the owner, and she said that there was a place that in that location at one time. There was a building called the Tom Tom Market. It was a little convenience mart.
Mm-hmm.
And this Indian guy owned it, and... there was a fire that burned the place down, and the guy who owned it, he'd been dead for years.
Oh, my. So he still comes by looking for it.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing, too. There was a interesting thing, it had come along through the years with all the businesses. No business had ever survived there unless until one business came in at one point in time where the owner was leaving food, a bowl of food out on the front, at the front every evening. And he lasted there for like 5 years until he quit. And but no other business has ever survived there since that market besides that one.
Huh.
And he was leaving the food out for the Indian.
Well, and the Indian probably helped him keep the business going.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is that you know, the food was always gone the next morning.
I love that.
And he left it up in the tree. He had a little platform up in a tree, so it wasn't on the ground.
It's like putting out cookies for Santa. Thanks, Sal. I appreciate that. Tom, we're getting the texts and tweets still. What do we have?
We are. This is a text from Samantha in Idaho. We're going to be Halloween-like if we can. What former deceased guest's ghost would you like to talk to?
What former
deceased
guest ghost
would you like to talk to?
Have I already interviewed this guest? What do you think?
Yeah, a former guest that's been on this show that has passed away.
And you can bring them back.
Right.
You know, I think it would be our old friend Glenn Kimball.
I knew it. I
miss him.
I wrote.
He talked about those ancient biblical days and all these special things. He'd be cool to tell you what the other side is all about.
He was a nice guy. I wrote three in a row, and I got your first one.
Yeah, how about that? Okay, thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Okay, next up, we go to Atlanta, Georgia. Chad's with us with a story. Chad, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Great, Chad. Thank you for calling Ghost to Ghost.
Yeah, great to be on.
Great.
I appreciate your insight and your style in class.
Thank you, sir. What do you have for us?
Well, this is a story from 2005. I was living in San Francisco, and I caught the surfing bug as soon as I moved out there, and we would get up early every day and go surfing if the waves were up. So my friend Kirk and Jay and I headed up about 6 a.m., left the city, got some coffee, crossed the Golden Gate, got onto Highway 1, and at Stinson Beach, there's a three-way stop, and we stopped there. And there's normally no one around.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped, and I saw the driver, Kirk, kind of looking towards me, staring. I thought that was a little odd. And then I look what he's seen, and there's a woman standing right beside my door.
Oh.
Yeah, she's got dreadlocks and a big wool sweater and like a patch quilt dress.
Is she peering in?
Well, she's just kind of standing there.
Yeah.
And I didn't see her before, and it's pretty rare for someone to be out in that area on Highway 1, kind of in the wilderness at that time of day.
Just hanging around, yeah.
So Kirk told me to roll the window down, and I rolled it down, and he said, "Hey, is everything okay? You need some help?" And she said, "Well, I'm going to Bolinas, which is where we were going surfing, just up the road, and I've got a dentist appointment, and I wanted to know if I could get a ride." So, of course, Kirk was like, "Yeah, jump in the back." So she got into the car behind me and sat down, and my friend Jay in the back was sitting next to her. Well, as we're driving, she starts telling some stories to us. She is talking about how dangerous of a road this is and that people shouldn't walk on it and that a lot of people have been killed on this road. And that kind of sparked my interest a little bit. I knew from past just driving on the road that it was pretty dangerous and a lot of the locals drove very fast. And it's extremely curvy and it's right next to the mountain and the ocean if you've ever been up Highway 1 that way.
Yeah.
So she continues, and I notice that Jason in the back seat is being extremely quiet. She starts talking about a woman who was pregnant, a girl, and she was killed in that stretch from Stinson Beach to Bolinas. And, you know, that kind of stunned me. And we weren't really saying much. She was just talking.
She was doing all the talking, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost, it was very early in the morning. You know, it was dark. She's just kind of rambling on. So we get up to the location where she has the dentist appointment, and Kirk knows that area. So it's a huge gravel parking lot. And the sun is just starting to come up, so you can see the fog all along the ground.
Yeah.
It's very low. And we drop her off, and she says thanks and gets out, and we have to make a big circle to go back out onto the road. And I look back, and she's just gone.
Oh,
there's nobody there.
Not into the mist, just gone.
I mean, there's no one there.
Gosh, did you feel weird with her in the car?
Perhaps a little bit, but...
But not a lot.
We get to the surf spot, and we start unloading, and I notice that Jason, he wasn't putting on his wetsuit or getting the surfboard ready or anything, and I thought that was kind of odd because he was a newbie like myself and always stoked to go surfing. So we went out into the waves, and he never came in, which I thought was weird. And we didn't talk much on the way home. They dropped me off. I got ready for work and went in. A couple days later, Kirk says to me, "Hey, did Jason tell you about what he saw on that ride when we took up to Bolinas and we picked up that hitchhiker?" I said, "No, he didn't say anything to me." And he said, "You should ask him." So I asked him, and he was kind of coy and very quiet about it. And he didn't want to talk about it.
Huh.
I pressured him, and he said that he had seen a ghost. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The hitchhiker that we picked up was a ghost."
He knew it.
And I said, "What do you mean? How could you tell she was a ghost?" Because I doubted it, because I'd never seen a ghost before.
Right, and she looked physical to you, solid, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't get to see her much because she was sitting behind me.
Yeah, well, that's edgy right there.
Yeah, but I knew Jason was a real guy, and he had a lot of experiences, and we had a lot of conversations about interesting things, and I couldn't doubt him. So he told me he could see through her.
Oh, my gosh.
And that she was never moving the entire time she was talking, and her expression didn't change.
And he just, like, sat there and didn't say anything?
He didn't say a word.
Wow, he was in shock, maybe.
Yeah, I think he knew. He has had experiences, I think, with stuff like this before. And, you know, at that point, I started kind of feeling a little strange, and I started researching on the Internet about this.
Yeah.
So I looked up that area, accidents, people being hit.
Ghosts, all that.
Correct. Well, I was just really looking for physical evidence that someone was hit on that road.
Okay.
Kind of matching the description. And I found one article that had a strew of people, you know, like a string of people that were hit on that road walking, and one was a girl who was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And she was killed. And they insinuated that it could have been covered up by, like, local law enforcement with the possibility of involvement.
Jeez.
So I told Jason and Kirk about it, and when I tried to show them the article, which I bookmarked, it was a dead link. I couldn't find it again.
Wow, that's weird. And I'm wondering if the woman that you picked up was that pregnant person who got hit.
Well, I really think so. I think that she was either trying to prove to me that the ghosts were real, or that she was implying that she wanted someone to investigate or know what really happened in her death.
God, that's a great story, Chad. Last Thursday, I'm pumping gasoline, and out of nowhere, some guy comes up to me, out of nowhere, and asks for a ride to the ocean. Now, where we are in the studio is a pretty good poke from the ocean, especially during rush hour or drive time. And I look at this guy. I mean, he just appeared out of nowhere. I'm pumping gasoline, and he just, like, shows up from behind the pump. I mean, how do you not see that? He wasn't there before. He just showed up. And so he says, you know, are you going to the ocean? Will you take me to the ocean? And I went, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to the ocean. And he went, well, what about, how far down on the 405 are you going? That's a busy highway here in L.A. I said, I'm not going to be on the 405. And I said, I'm sorry. And so I turned around to finish pumping the gasoline. And I look, and this guy's gone. He's gone. He popped up and disappeared as fast as he popped up. I'm thinking for a moment, this guy's in my car. I got to get rid of him. He's not in the front. He's not in the back. He's not there. Finished with the gasoline. And I'm telling you, there were like two or three cars in that entire gasoline structure. He was nowhere to be found. I don't know who he is, what he was, but poof, there he was. Let's go to Helper, Utah. Bill's with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Nice to talk to you.
Got to watch where I pump gasoline, I guess.
That's right. Happens all the time around here. Of course, we're not close to the ocean, so.
Yeah.
Really nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
And I'm your second-time caller. Talked to you and old Jesse Ventura one time.
Oh, yeah.
So
what a guy he is.
Very nice stuff. So, anyway, I'm going to make this brief.
All right.
My ex, well, my deceased father-in-law, back in 2000, the guy was a World War II veteran and a great guy. However, he had a really harsh way of talking. I'll be as kind as I can.
Yeah, remember, this is kids are listening.
That's right. He was not a fan of Tiger Woods.
Okay.
I golfed with him often. So, anyway, my father-in-law passed away back in 2000. And true story here, I hear a lot of stories that I really don't buy into. However, I was laying on the couch talking to my best friend, and next to my entertainment center, my wife had this, I don't know, a big bulky, you know, notebook kind of a thing, standing on its own next to the thing. And I'm talking to my friend, and my deceased father-in-law's name came up, and I says, hey, you remember old Bob? And all of a sudden, slop, that book thing just dropped on its side. And it's crazy because I was watching it. The TV was not on, nothing. I had like a lamp on. It just went whop.
The moment you said that, huh?
I had this feeling. I wasn't scared, not even a little bit. But kind of that feeling of, oh, gosh, I was talking about someone, and they just overheard me talking about them.
And this one happened to be a ghost.
Well, something made that thing flop over.
I love that.
And so I just steered the conversation away. You know, I was really cool about it. And here's the thing. The next day, she's my ex-wife now. However, the next day, she and I were traveling a short distance into town from Helper to Price. And this is a very, very tough girl. I have seen her cry maybe three times
wow.
in my life.
Yeah, I know a few of those.
She tears up, and I look over at her, and I'm like, what's wrong? She says, you're going to think I'm crazy. I saw my dad standing at the edge of our bed last night.
Wow.
I mean, it was just like a one-two punch. I'm not kidding you.
Did you believe that she saw him?
Absolutely. After what happened to me, That happened first. After that, absolutely, I believe her.
They do come back, to be sure. Hey, we're going to continue with Ghost to Ghost for another couple more hours here, folks. Those of you on hold, I shall get to you when we come back after the break. And we are taking your quick questions, too, tweets and your text messages as well. Tom's got the system all hooked up, ready to go. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter as well. And you can email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. Ghost to Ghost continues in a moment.